Romans chapter 16, and that's page 950 in your pew Bible there in front of you if you don't have a copy of the text. Romans chapter 16, and we'll begin reading at verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again that we are free to open this book, this living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, that cuts, does surgery where is needed. We get to open this book and read, but also, as was so well testified by these two ladies today, we get to have an understanding of what it means, what is before us in observation, and what it means to that reader, and then ultimately your spirit would take it and do its surgical work. So thank you for that, God, in application. I ask you now that you would use it how you see fit, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how often you have opportunity or do write letters. I was blessed this past month because of your goodness for many of you to take the time that you did and wrote a card, or some even wrote a letter, and those are very, very dear to take the time to do that. Everybody's busy. I find that in my life so often. There's so much that is going on, and I'm just blessed by those of you that took the time to do that, because it does encourage hearts. I want you to know I also have received other kinds of letters over the years that I actually sometimes keep. Sometimes they're anonymous, sometimes they are not, but that's okay. We all learn in different ways, but if you have written letters over the years, you maybe have put at the end of a letter a P.S. I want you to think about that, the idea of a P.S. I was talking to my daughter about this in the area of, like, writing letters, and she says, oh, yeah, when I would get letters and write letters, that was a very important part. My wife, when she was a little one, she would write her grandma in Wisconsin. And they would go back and forth, and she said, and I wouldn't just have a P.S., I'd have a P.S.S., a P.S.S., and keep going on. And what a P.S. is it's what is literally, it's called a postscript. How is defined in the dictionary is an afterthought, thought that is occurring after the letter has been written and signed. The term comes from Latin postscriptum, an expression meaning written after. And that may be interpreted in the sense of that which comes after the writing. And so as you and I look at the book of Romans, which is actually a letter, It seems that Romans 16 is a PS. I want you to take a look again with me at the beginning there of Romans 16 and actually jump up into the 15th chapter. I want you to look at that last verse of the 15th chapter. He says, it sounds like an ending. He says, may the God of peace be with you all. Amen. But then he's got some people on his mind. Remember, we talked about that last time we were together, that these are dear people that he wants to have greeted. He wants them to know how dear they are. And we went through all those names and some of our thoughts concerning what was the reasoning behind that. But it almost sounds like Paul's wrapping things up. And then he goes, oh, I got something else I want to share. P.S. Chapter 16. And so we went through those names last week, and we thought about some of the things that that could teach us. But I feel like I went quickly over the 16th verse there. So I'd like you to look back up at that 16th verse with me. After all the names were said, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Listen to this from John MacArthur. It was common for people to kiss. It could be just an embrace. It could be a kiss on the cheek. It could be a kiss on the forehead. We find illustrations of a kiss on the hand. It was even common to kiss the beard. Or Stu. Stu left. And even on a rare occasion to kiss the mouth. This was a sign of affection. There's nothing erotic in this kind of kiss. It's rather a sign of warm affection. Now, such kisses, we find, were also for relatives. They were also for people who were highly respected and honored. They were for friends, and they were for rulers as well. Commonly, also, this kind of kiss would be given at a greeting when people came together, and also at a parting when they separated. And usually the exchange was between those of the same sex, though there is no reason to believe that it did not occasionally occur between those of the opposite sex. The New Testament church obviously picked up this form of salutation, this form of affection, and used it. And this is why Paul encourages them to do it. He isn't inventing something new. He's just saying, do it on my behalf. Greet everybody with a holy kiss. Its commonness is indicated by other texts. You see in 1 Corinthians 16:20, he says essentially the same thing at the end of the Corinthian letter. All the brethren greet you one another with a holy kiss. At the end of the second letter to the Corinthians, verse 12 of chapter 13, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Thessalonians 5:26. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss on my behalf. I say this, and I want to be careful, but I want to emphasize something. I think we live in a time, and by the way, some of you are not huggers. I get it. And I found that out as the years go by in ministry. I find out who's a hugger and who isn't. And that's okay. Don't want you to feel uncomfortable with that. Then there's people that are really huggers. We had that with Dottie, if you remember. Dottie was an individual that she just loved to hug people. I think culturally we need to look at this verse and to not pass up what he's trying to say here. It's an important thing. I think we need to be careful. I know that as I teach the Cubbies downstairs, that's our 3- and 4-year-olds. That sometimes they're coming in from their game time and the leaders are coming in with them, and I do the Bible story with them, and I'm sitting in a chair there, and I'll have Atticus come up because he's my grandson and he wants a hug and stuff like that. And then I'll just see him do that. I'll have Millie come up and she'll give me a big hug, and Sophia does it. And others that are not regularly at our church, but they'll come up, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to push them away. But I'm also going to be very careful how I hug them. That's why we have, by the way, that's why we have, or we want to be careful with our children's ministry, that we have a child protection policy and going through the whole things along that line. But if we're not careful, we could become standoffish. I even want to be wise as I hug women, how I hug a woman. As I hug a guy, I'm usually not worried about that, aren't I? Give him a big bear hug because I want him to know how much I love him, how much they mean to me. Except if they're not a hugger, right? But I want you to know that over the years, something that is, and I've heard it said, that sometimes we can have all of our theology down, all of our ducks in a row in this, in life. And that's great. And that's where the calling. But sometimes one of the biggest ministries that we can have for one another is a hand on a shoulder. And by the way, it's awkward for some people. I'm not telling you have to be this way. But what I'm saying is, don't fight an opportunity for physical touch, holy physical touch. Just my old McDonald's guys, those old veterans that I get to be with. Every now and then I'll walk by them and I'll just touch them, and you can tell they're at first they weren't used to that. They're almost like a stiffening up, and you got to be careful. But also, as time goes by, they know I love them. And so I'm encouraging you, there's a reason why this verse is in the Bible. And to be wise. But to use your affection to communicate love. Holy affection. In a culture that is messed up, that have twisted things in a stupid way. And if you're a person that is not doing it right, but you go, good, Pastor Mark's talking this stuff. We got eyes. We see. So after I did all that encouraging, now I'm scaring you. But anyways, you guys know what I mean. I just have seen the value of love shown to one another. Well, we've come to this passage here after all of those greetings, all that, and he ends on greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. We now, remember we talked about last week, we come to a warning. A warning is given. And I need my ears to perk up. I need my eyes to be aware of. There's something that is being said here that I need to, oh, this is, God's trying to get something across here. He's not just leaving us with puppy dogs and rainbows. He's going to be direct about something here. And so if you're taking notes back in your bulletin, you have the opportunity to do that. Point number one, what's with the troublemakers? What's with the troublemakers? After all those good things that were said, I got to give a warning. Aren't you glad God's like this? Aren't you glad, you know, he is a lamb, but he's also a lion? And so look at verse 17 again with me. I appeal to you. Now think about that word. I appeal to you. That's grabbing your shoulder and saying, I got something I want you to hear here. I appeal to you, brothers, because I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. To watch out, scopas. Scope could be microscopic. It could be telescopic. I want you to be aware. Talking to our guys from our security team. What do you keep an eye for? It's things that don't look right. Doesn't fit the context. Scopas, you're watching. Right? Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. What, all those 15 and a half verses that we've worked through already, there will be people, he's saying, I want you to understand, this is the battle we're in. I wish I didn't have to say it, but I've said some hard stuff to you all the way up till now. I want you to keep an eye out. All of you are security on this. Something doesn't look right. Contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. And look what he says.
Avoid them. Avoid them.
Watch out. Places this congregation on notice. Here's what he's saying. Church is not a walk in the park. It is constantly dealing with those that cause divisions and create obstacles. So think about that. The two things there. Causing divisions. So separating people. That could happen in a lot of different ways. That could happen with, hey, do you know that? Hey. And then a person that is putting things in the road to trip people up or creating barriers between people. So not just the person that's breaking bridges, but it's also building walls. He says, I want you to watch out for people like that. I want you to be aware of it. Unity is huge in church, not uniformity, not everybody being the same. I love the differences, don't you? Love it. I love being around people that don't think exactly like me. How boring would that be? It's convenient. And God placed that in our lives. Pastor Jason and I, we were coming to the elders' meeting. We had something that was on our hearts, and we shared with them. And a couple of the men just said, hey, here's what I'm thinking. Maybe we go about it this way. Maybe this would be wise in this situation. Because we pray before our meetings. But Pastor Jason, that's our prayer. We don't come into, we'd love for everything to go our way. I mean, that's all of us. But the reality is that's not good. That wouldn't be good. And so as we're talking to these men, they're sharing, well, why should, and it was one of those things where we walked out of there going, thank you, God. Thank you. We've had things in the past where we as elders and deacons have gotten together and elders saying some things, deacons are saying some things, and in a meeting that was a few years back, there were three deacons that said, well, I think this is the direction, as we're saying. We're the elders, we're casting vision, we're sharing all these things, and God places these individuals to say, I think we should do this. Amen. There's a beauty to that. We need each other. So not uniformity. I hope that we're willing to come into things and have a mind that is not open to heresy. Definitely not. I don't think that will happen as we're in the Word, as we're talking about what you shared. But an openness in situations to go, I don't got this all figured out. So he's not talking about that. But there are some things that we'll go to the mat for. We as a church family have in our bylaws, we have a doctrinal statement that explains where we stand on different items. And over the years, I've had people that have come to me. When I first got here, there was a guy that wanted to make sure that he knew that we, theologically, we lose our salvation. And he wanted me to believe this. And I met him at his house and we're talking, and he was getting so frustrated that I actually believe that we don't lose our salvation. I sing Blessed Assurance, not Blessed I Hope So. and he's adamant, and he's talking. He didn't stay around. I could tell you so many stories, and I was praying before this message that I was wise and careful with the stories I tell, but there are different people that will come, stay for a little while, meet with me, want to educate me on theology. And by the way, I can learn. but things that would be against our doctrinal statement. And if we did it this way, how much better things would go. Sorry, Charlie. All right. Isn't going to happen. It would be wrong of me when I came as a pastor to this church and looked at your situation and said, yes, yes, yes. And then when I was taken on into the church, tried to move so that I would change the doctrinal statement. Don't go to that church. Don't tie yourself to that. It's happened a few times. And so I want you to know this happens. It also can happen in another subtle way that I want to share in your life that you need to be aware of. When Paul wrote this, radio and the internet and TV did not exist. You would be shocked if you took the time to... Christian TV is a mess. I'm using the word Christian in front of the word TV, all right? Because it's called that. It is a mess theologically. Because usually solid biblical teaching doesn't sell. It's emotional. It's messed up in a lot of different ways. Sometimes some creeps through. And then radio, you have to be as wise and discerning as possible, because what happens is there is this subtle heresies that come in that sound great. These people are great communicators. But I'm telling you, they could cause divisions among you on the outside with that. I hope that makes sense, because that could creep in. That could be something that would be a part of your life. And you go, but it sounds so good. That's why they got the job. And he says, avoid them. Simply, that's the word of advice. Avoid them. See, these people, they should know better because they've been taught doctrine, and you and I should know better. Look at this in Titus 3, verse 10. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Wow, that sounds like the steps, by the way, of church discipline. There's a characteristic of Christians that's a good characteristic. For the most part, Christians are kind. Another word you could use. For the most part, Christians can be nice. And so a word like this could be very hard for you to take into account. I want you to know, by the way, that I'm not saying to you, you have to agree completely with the pastor on all things. As I just pointed out, I was at an elders meeting where there were some elders that didn't agree with me on something. And we talked through those things. But if there is an element that is working against the church and the church's unity, there's a problem. And something that I appreciate is when the different people that are a part of different teaching different things, when Diane is going to be teaching a class, she just got done teaching a class, Galatians, going into Ephesians, she contacted me, said, would you clear this with the elders? I'd like to do this again. But she's putting herself under the authority of the leadership of the church. She takes that seriously. It's appreciated. Because this needs to be protected. It's important. I mean, that's a huge warning there. And so, without beating this dead horse, Are you getting the point? Is that we take this seriously. That doctrine matters. That what we hold to is what we hold to. And we're skopos, we're aware, we see. And I'm not talking about second stages of separation. I mean, this isn't talking just about your opinions on different things. We could, if we're not careful, we can separate over a ton of stuff. And I could start listing them and then I'd lose you because I haven't thought about that lately. Instead, I'm encouraging you that where we stand, if you don't know that, I can get a copy of our doctrinal statement to you so that you know. Unity is huge to God. He says, avoid them. Avoid them. Let's keep going. Number two, why are they troublemakers? Number two, why are they troublemakers? Look at verse 18. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Paul describes these troublemakers he knows that they're going to face. These true disciples that serve the Lord, but these do not. Rather, they serve their own appetites, whatever that could be. You'll see a lot of times cults are tied to that. Things that go on with cultic behavior, heretical behavior, usually are messed up in other areas. And if you're not careful, you could, it would bother you. Something would bother you about it. But they're preachers. They seem to know the Bible. They talk really good, you know. They're self-centered. There's a somewhat of a hedonism tied to them. They use these sneaky words to deceive the naive. That's why I was so appreciative of that description of the Bible study. It's work. It's not this flamboyant language that tickles your ears. It's just the hard work of Bible study. Because a lot of times what happens is the guys that are the sneaky ones, the ladies that are teaching that are the sneaky ones, they're just really good communicators. They know how to say it, and they know how to be funny, and they know, but there's no depth to it. And they'll use those sneaky words, and they'll deceive the naive. That word naive means there's a relative ignorance. And we're all ignorant of something. So whenever you hear the word, somebody will say, boy, you're ignorant. Go, well, you're right. You're ignorant about something. But by the way, they're ignorant about something. But as we look at that 18th verse there, he's saying to you and to me that Christian fellowship is sadly a fragile thing. Understand that. It's a fragile thing. That's why we need to be careful with one another. How we talk. The hills that we're willing to die on. Look at this in 1 John 2, beginning of verse 15. Solid verses. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it's the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. And so the beloved disciple, John, is linking up with Paul in understanding there's individuals that will cause division and they will move on if things aren't going the way that they'd love for them to go. And I think some of the things that I've seen over the years that have a blessing to this church family, and this has gone on pre-Mark Myers, and I've just been able to come here and be blessed to be a part of this church family, and that is what has protected us. What's protected us? I think the fact that we value the Word of God, expositorily working through the Word of God, whether it be in Bible studies, whether it be in Sunday school classes, whether it be from the pulpit here. And the beauty of working through books of the Bible instead of just topical things. I know you hear this often, but I want to say, because we'll do topical every now and then. But topical, the temptation for me with topical would be picking just what I like and what I find as easy to talk about. When I'm given the book, I got to work through all of Romans. I'm going to get through all of it. When I'm in Genesis, I got to work through all of Genesis. And how God's wired it is amazing. You will see as we work through the scriptures that systematically, theologically, in each book, it'll hit on stuff that needs to be said so that it gets it covered. Because topically, I could bypass things that I don't want to talk about. It can happen. And so I think because we are grace, I love that word, grace, but our middle name is Bible. It says that's going to be our thing that guides us through life and faith and what we value. But secondly, I want to tell you that I believe it's because over the years we've had strong leadership. And once again, I'm blessed because I've stepped into it. I've stepped into this place, and around me, God has put men and women that take the word seriously. And as a result, a person that's trying to be interesting, you know my word interesting, sees that that's the case. And a lot of times they hightail it out of here quick because of that. And then I have the backing as I would go to an individual. And I'm telling you, it happens more than you think. I just don't every Sunday, hey, I got another one for you. It happens where somebody thinks that we should do exorcisms around here. I'm not kidding. Had to talk to that guy a little while. We are not going to do that. And then I find out he goes to another church and the pastor allows him to lead a meeting. And by the time the meeting's done, he's taking the demon out of this guy who's been a good guy for a long time and disrupted the church incredibly. I know if I went to my elders, I think we could we do some exorcism around here? They go, what door are you leaving out of, Pastor Mark? Amen. Demon be gone. No. So. Amen is right. That, and I could, like I picked that one, I'm serious. I've had people that want to sell stuff to the church. And they said, this would be a really great thing. And I've talked to other churches. And I just think, and they want to take the time to, no, we're not doing that. That's not what we're about. And so I stop it. And what's cool is I could go to my elders, our elders, and say this. And they're like, well, I think we need a couple of exorcisms. We could use some sales. It's, we're all wanting to follow God and be obedient to Him. So I'm grateful. Let's keep going. Verse 19. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. He's commending these Romans for their obedience. But this sounds familiar to Jesus' words. Remember this? Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. I love that. It's got Jesus balancing things out perfectly there. You know, I've quoted him, I don't know how many times, our brother Bob Spoonster, when he was doing jail ministry, and he would deal with different issues, and he was talking about just in leadership in church, and we as Christians, what we need to be. He goes, hey, we need to be as innocent as doves, but I'm telling you, we need to lean in to being wise as serpents. Because this world will want to get in. They'll want to cause divisions. And it has an air of religiosity that can creep in. They use flattering words, and we need to be wise with that. Point number three. Well, who's the opposite of these troublemakers? What does that person look like? And once again, some names come up. Look at verse 20 with me. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. I want you to look at this prepositional phrase here, under, look at the pronoun, your feet. Not under his feet, under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. See that? He's saying, and he sounds a lot like Jesus here. Look in Luke 10, verse 18. And he says, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus is telling them that he's not going to keep winning. As frustrated as you and I can get, he's not going to keep winning. But it also harkens back to that time after the fall in the garden. Remember that? What happened? And the serpent is cursed. Look at this in Genesis 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus did that for us. He crushed the serpent's head. And there will come a day where we will crush Satan under our feet. He's including us in that. We're part of that. And I'm grateful as not any praise to us, it's him. Verse 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. I want you to notice that it's at the end of the letter. You do know, as we've been working through these letters together, Timothy shows up a lot in the beginning of letters. We'll say Paul and Timothy. So why would he end up in the last part here? What many believe is that as Romans was being dictated by Paul, that he showed up later. And so he's going to be a part of the ending there. And he goes on, he says, that Timothy greets, but he says, so do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. And so these are Jewish brothers in Christ. And they may have been a part of that group of people that is going to be delivering that financial gift to Jerusalem. And it's also, once again, showing how God is not done with the people of Israel, these fellow Jews. And then verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this letter. So Paul dictates it. And this Tertius is the amanuensis, the scribe that's putting it together. And Tertius puts his name in there. I just want you to know I wrote this. I greet you in the Lord. So this scribe is including himself in it. And you realize, as you look at this letter, I don't think this is a one-day jobber. This is work. Last verse here, verse 23. Gaius, who, by the way, that's Julius Caesar's. Actually, that's his real first name. It's Gaius Julius Caesar. He was part of the Julian family. That's how the Romans would put it together. And so this guy, Gaius, who is host to me, So he's a hospitable person, and he's included in this amazing letter. And to the whole church. So he's probably a person of means, a person of wealth, who's using that wealth for the glory of God. He's seeing that the gospel is true, and so what am I going to invest in? I'm so blessed. We are so blessed as we look at the bulletin, as we see how this church family has given. It's humbling. That's why we take it so seriously. That's why next week we want to talk about that. And it's your willingness to say, I'm giving to this. Gaius saw that as a value. He invested. And it says, he greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, that's, wow. And our brother Quartus greets you. So there are these people of high standing. God's honored by that. We live in a day where poor, and it's okay, but poor seem to be elevated and rich are put down. Everybody that's rich is evil. But I've met others on the other side with both of those things. The reality is, where's my heart with God? What am I doing with what he's given me? And these seem to be people that love the Lord. And then as we look at that list, you see in many of your translations, you may have a verse 24. In mine, it does not show up. And what happens with that is sometimes as we look through different manuscripts, there are some that have this and some that don't. It doesn't take away from the validity of the scriptures, because nothing theologically is affected by this. It's a repeat, actually. You go up a little higher to verse 20. The idea of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In some translations it would say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. Just a repeat. So let me ask you today, as you think about that, and as we'll wrap up Romans next week, Lord willing, aren't you glad that God's just honest with us? He tells us like it is. He calls it the way we need to. He calls a ball, and a strike. And he's warning. And it's a good word for us to remember. God, even as my house, I have treasure in my house. I have people I love in my house. I have things that I value in my house. I protect. I protect it through locks. I protect it for being aware. If people were walking through your neighborhood and they were looking kind of shifty, I think you'd be like, huh. Your kids, you don't just allow your children to be babysat by just anybody. Why? Because it's a treasure. They're valuable to you. And God is in his word saying, this is a treasure. And we value it, and we take it seriously, and we desire it to be held that way and to be protected. Because there's so many things that will creep in and want to take. So pray for us. Pray for us as leaders, as we would have wisdom to have that proper balance of grace and truth. And that God would continue doing his work here and beyond. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us, and thank you for your patience with us, and thank you so much for a church family who does take your word seriously. They can hear the nice things that were said last week, but they can also hear the warnings that we share today. It's all your word. So thank you for that. And we praise you for what you're going to continue to do as we continue going on. We want to honor you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.